So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angels, and he shut the mouth of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. Thanks.
Good morning. Everybody okay? Ace. I hope your morning started a little better than mine. I got in the shower still a little tired, started shampooing my hair this morning and found out I was shampooing it with Sif, because Lorraine had left Sif in there, so which would have been great if my hair was made of like metal, but it's not, unfortunately. But it's a gorgeous day, and about the rainbow, Lily came running into the kitchen yesterday and said, look at our colours, and me and Lorraine were like, "Oh, she's been drawing colours." So we were like trying to put it away, and then we went outside and saw this gorgeous rainbow. We were like, "Yeah, thanks for letting us know. God is great," and that reminds us. Okay, so we're talking about this morning, the title is Lions, What Lions? And it kind of came rooted from tests, because Luke's going through a lot of tests at the moment with school, and so are the other little ones as well. But for me, tests, I'm not particularly keen on them, if I'm honest. Some people like them, not me. But I think that the worst kind of test that I ever had, not worst, but probably the most scariest one I ever had, was I was approached a good few years ago now to go on a preaching course and here at Fulwood. And we said yes, and a few of us went on it. But I don't think it was mentioned that at the end of it, we would have to preach it to preachers. As a kind of feedback session, which was great, but it felt like X Factor for church, but it was really, really good. But I was really worried about that test. I mean, tests get me. But so as the theme is going to be looking at tests, how we are tested in life through trials and things like that, how do we deal with them? We're going to be looking at that. What can we do to combat them? What can we do to in anticipation of tests and trials that will come into our lives. So I've got a couple of little tests for you. So they're riddles. Anybody good at riddles? Hope so. Nobody's committing, okay. If we go to the first one. So what is easy to get into but hard to get out of? Anybody? Trouble. Who said trouble? Well done. Good job. Well done. That's, did it come up before you said that? All right, okay. I know all about that one anyway. There was a plane crash and every single person died, but who survived? Couples. Well done. Yes, there you go. The answer is all the married people. next one, a boy fell off a 100-foot ladder but was not hurt. Why? It was what? It wasn't horizontal. I like your thought process, though. He was on the first rung, absolutely. He was only on the first step. And the last one, feed me and I live, yet give me a drink and I die. What am I? Straight in there. Fire. There you go, fire. Some easy tests there. I like riddles. But we face tests all the time. We face trials in our lives. They are going to come. It starts predominantly at school, where we kind of know that we're working up towards the ultimate tests in year five, as it used to be for me, but it's like 23 now, I think, or something like that. But then we get older, and we know eventually we're going to want to take our driving tests if we're that way inclined. So we kind of study and we prepare for that driving test. And we have loads of little tests, maybe job interviews, and we know it's a kind of test. They're going to test us on what we can give to get that job. But as we get older, I think the tests and the things that come our way are not as predictable as when we were younger. In fact, I think a lot of them can probably take us by surprise. Things like, I've been made redundant. So what are you going to do in that situation? That's the question. It's happened. But it's a test. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? How will I act if that happens? A husband cheats on a wife, or a wife cheats on a husband. What am I going to do in that situation? How am I going to act? Where am I going to go? Who am I going to look to in that situation? I passed a bookies one day. It was payday. I had a go. 6 months later, I've got a gambling addiction. What are you going to do? How are you going to act? I just go out at the weekends. It's just with me mates. That's what weekends are for. 6 months later, you're in rehab because you've got an alcohol addiction. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go with it? Nobody wakes up in the morning thinking, oh, I really want to make some choices in my life that will ultimately lead me into rehab. Nobody wakes up thinking that. Nobody wakes up in the morning thinking, I want to make some choices in my life, some decisions in my life that's going to ultimately end up in family breakdown and I'm going to experience that. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to end up in a bad situation. But we read in 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and sober of mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. We don't want to end up in bad situations, but I'll tell you something, he does. He does want us to be there. And he'll do all he can to make sure we're there and to make sure we stay there. A little test here, a little test there, and then that snowballs until we find our lives in a place where we never intended it to be. And by then, we're defeated. We're facing an impossible situation. We're asking, how are we going to get out of this? What am I going to do? There's no way out of it. That's what he wants. So how are we going to deal with this? How are we going to combat it? How do we prepare ourselves for when a lion comes knocking at our door? A little bit of background to the piece of scripture that we've just heard. King Nebuchadnezzar, so the Babylonian king, had gone to Jerusalem and he'd basically defeated Jerusalem. And then he was taking a lot of the Jewish people back, kind of as hostage. And one of those people was Daniel, a guy called Daniel. So he's taken to Babylon. He's taken to this strange new kind of major city. But right from the start, Daniel shined. Pretty soon he was shined that much that he became advisor to King Nebuchadnezzar, which is pretty cool to become an advisor to King Nebuchadnezzar. But he served through his life quite a few Babylonian kings and things like that. And he did it quite faithfully. He did it to the best of his ability. But the one thing he always did, he always made a habit of praying, of keeping up his relationship with the one and true God. He even used to open his windows up because his windows would open towards Jerusalem, and he would sit and pray to God in open view of everybody. That was the one thing that he did. He gained a lot of admiration and respect from everyone around him. But Daniel's first and foremost thing was God. That was Daniel's first priority. Anyway, Daniel went on to serve quite a few kings. And this is where we pick up. Daniel is now serving under a new king, a king named Darius. And like many kings before him, King Darius had soon come to recognize Daniel's great wisdom and Daniel's great integrity. And Daniel was now approaching sort of 90 years of age, and he became King Darius's trusted friend. So Darius chose Daniel to be one of only three administrators who governed over his kingdom. Wow. He must have really been a pretty cool guy, Daniel, I think. But Daniel even excelled at this, so much so that the king decided to put him solely in charge of the whole government. Now, that didn't go down too well with the other kind of cabinet members and high officials. They were like, no way, this isn't happening. We want to kind of have a bit of rule. So they were really jealous of this. So the first thing they did was they tried to find, let's do some background searches and let's find out about Daniel. Let's see if we can find something, some dirt on Daniel, so that that'll discredit him with the king, and then he'll be demoted or even killed. So they did the background search, but they couldn't find anything because Daniel was such a man of integrity. There was nothing to find. So the only thing that they knew for sure about Daniel was that he was a man of God, that he prayed. So they decided to somehow to use his kind of religious convictions against him. So they worked out a cunning plan. The officials go over to King Darius and they kind of play on the king's pride, and they challenge him to issue a royal decree. One that could not be altered by anybody, including the king, but that would result in the execution of anyone in the kingdom who would pray to any god but him. So they said, let everybody pray to you. So King Darius is like, yeah, that sounds pretty cool. I like the idea of that. Let's do it. So he signs off the decree. It's an unchangeable decree. Anybody breaking it is going to end up in the lion's den. What he didn't realize at the time was that he was actually endangering the life of a trusted friend and confidant. So as expected, so Daniel, actually you would think, right, this has happened. Maybe I won't pray for a bit. Maybe I'll leave it for a while. But Daniel's like, no. I'm not going to do that. I'm still going to pray. All right, but maybe you keep your windows closed just so people don't see. No, it flings them open. So obviously it doesn't take them long to kind of find Daniel praying and therefore violating this king's decree and ordered to be thrown into the lion's den. They had Daniel, essentially, and King Darius, who, to be fair, I think realized later, because he's gutted. He didn't want this to happen, but he can't change it. So, you know, we actually read in the message that we've just heard that he went home. He didn't eat. He didn't sleep. He was gutted. But they had Daniel and they had King Darius on a technicality. So Daniel's now facing his greatest test yet. He's sentenced to death by a lion. He's to be thrown into the lion's den. So now, at this point, Daniel may have had some some kind of hope. He might have been thinking, actually, you know, the king is my friend. Maybe he will free me. Maybe he will do something to get me out of this situation once he's realized I'm going to die. That might have been one of his hopes to get him away from this thing that's going to happen to him. But according to the law and the rules and regulations in those days, once the king made the decree, even the king couldn't break it. So that was out of the question. Daniel might have thought, you know what? When I get into the den, maybe I can escape. Maybe I can find a way out and get out on my own back before these lions eat me. But when he was put in there, a large stone was rolled over the kind of entrance exit. So there was no way. So that was out of the question as well. So maybe Daniel's thinking, actually, I've got a lot of other friends other than the king. Maybe one of those friends will come and roll the stone away, and then I'll be able to get out. But the problem with that was the king and his officials sealed the stone with their kind of stamps. So anybody moving the stone would break that seal, and they would then end up in there as well. So Daniel is left to face these fierce, extremely hungry lions. This is an impossible situation for Daniel. There is no way out of this. Almost an unpassable test. And then morning breaks, and King Darius legs it down to the lion's den, and he's shouting, Daniel, Daniel, Daniel! Has your God, who you have always loved, has he saved you, Daniel? And then Daniel answers, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. Praise God. Just amazing. Absolutely amazing. One thing that strikes me about this is that the king has run down. He's on one side of the lion's den. Daniel, remember, is still inside the lion's den. Now, if that would have been me and the king said, are you okay? Are you okay? I would have gone, yeah, let's talk about it. Just let me out. Just let me out first and then we'll have a chat about this. Okay? But Daniel is so not bothered about being in this den with the lions that he actually comes out with a full-on statement, a full-on explanation. And he's like really kind of almost chilled out in there, which is amazing. I like to think, we don't know what actually happened in the lion's den, but I really like to think that when he got in there, you know, he kind of went to sleep and used one of them as a pillow, another one to keep him warm. And it's like, I just like to think that, but we don't know exactly what happened. I like to think that ultimately Daniel would, if somebody had come up to that rock, that stone that was blocking it, and knocked on it and said, how are the lions, Daniel? That Daniel would have said, lions? What lions? Daniel went through the toughest test in his life, a test that looked to every human being that knew his circumstances, it looked like it would lead to his death. But Daniel had spent his entire life cultivating a relationship with God. And it's at this moment where his 90 years of praying to God, his 90 years of standing up for God, his 90 years of being in a relationship, a speaking, talking, living relationship with God comes into play. This comes into play. at the point of being thrown into the den, because we've talked about how chilled out he was, but actually, at the very point that he was put into the den, I think that would have been a really scary moment for him, to be quite honest with you. And I don't think it would have been a case of he were thrown in and the lions were just there lying around and not doing anything. In fact, we read that Daniel says that the lions' mouths were closed. So if the lions' mouths were closed, that means they must have been open at some point. At that point, Daniel drew on his relationship with God. At that point, his relationship with God came into play because everything that he could possibly think of to get out of this situation was gone. And the only place, his default mode, was God. I can truthfully say, and I bet you didn't know this about me, but I know Tom Cruise. The Tom Cruise, not like a Tom Cruise. Do you believe that? No, not really. But I can honestly say I do know Tom Cruise. I know Donald Trump. I know the Queen. They are all true statements. I know these people, but do I know them? Not really. I know of them. I don't really know them. Now, if I'd have been meeting with the Queen regularly and having like a chippy tea every week or something, and we're chatting about what's going on and stuff like that, and I got to know about her life and she got to know about me, then I could say I know the Queen. But I don't really. I wish I did. But a lot of us claim to know God. But do you know God? Do you speak to him? The most important part of a relationship. Do you speak to him? Daniel did. Tests are often designed to confront you with the reality of your own limitations. I think this would have confronted Daniel with the reality of his own limitations, of just how much he can do to get out of a situation, but also just how much God can do to get him out of a situation. Tests are designed to lead you into a deeper level of dependence on God, because we fall back on him. Because, and I've used this phrase before, if you hit rock bottom, you find there is a rock and his name is Jesus. And he will be there for you. Daniel's ultimate test came from a place of jealousy, from people around him that were jealous of him. And they put things in place to put him in this situation. But you know what? Tests, trials, troubles can come from our own bad choices as well. As well as external factors, it can come from our own, you know, mistakes, our own bad choices. And we can find ourselves there. And to be frank, the enemy, you know that guy who roars around like a roaring lion? He doesn't really care how you got there. He doesn't really care why you're being tested. He just wants your life to be in the worst possible place it can be. And I wonder where you are this morning. Maybe in a situation that, like Daniel, looked impossible to get out of. There's just no way of doing this. There's no way of getting out of this. Maybe you've made some bad choices and it's put you in a place that I can't do this. Maybe someone else has made some bad choices and that's affected you. And you're just thinking, I don't know what to do. I've tried everything, but I can't get out of this. But if it all seems impossible, turn to God this morning, please. Speak to him this morning, but carry on speaking to him. Because what seems impossible for us is totally, totally possible for him. Maybe you're okay this morning. Maybe you're in a good place. And do you know what? If you are, you've no real issues. That is so very cool. And God bless you. But I still want to encourage you to don't just know God, but know God. Get to know God. Pray to Him. Speak to Him. Cultivate a relationship with Him. Because when we give it all to Him, when we speak to Him and build up a relationship with Him, when, like Daniel, the lions are surrounding us, and to everyone else watching, it looks an impossible situation, we won't fall apart, we don't get eaten, we don't stress, we don't feel defeated, we will look to our God, we will look to our friend that we know well because we've taken time to know Him, and we will say to Jesus, lions, what lions?